Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Yep, he's done it again, folks.
Oh, no, not again. Oh, my. Oh, my. Oh, my goodness gracious.
Named to Talkers Magazine's Heavy 100 for the third year in a row.
It's not the first time. It won't be the last.
He's Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
Hello, America. Welcome back. It's great to continue to be with you. If you just tuned in, welcome aboard. If you've been listening already, thank you for that. My website is www.smallbusinessadvocate.com. Don't forget all the things you can do there, including subscribe to my newsletter. And boy, howdy, are we having a great week this week with subscribers. So many of you have signed up, and we appreciate you for that. Thanks for joining that great community of subscribers to our newsletter. We're now in our seventh year of sending the newsletter out every single Sunday in the afternoon. Get you ready for the week ahead. And don't forget the blog. Jim's blog is right there. You can find it on the homepage, or you can go to jimsblog.biz and check it out when you get a chance. And I think you'll enjoy it. And you can subscribe to that, too, by the way. We'll send it to you, just like the newsletter, only it comes by a different kind of technology, which you can get from our website if you don't have it already, the Real Simple Syndication technology. John Deeney is our guest, ladies and gentlemen. He's the president of Management Performance Network, the author of 103 Tips for Better Hiring. I forgot to drop two of them off there. And he's the nation's top alternative board franchisee, and he's our good friend John. Welcome back to the show.
Hi, Jim. Good morning. Thanks for having me back.
It's good to have you back. And John, you're still number one, right, with Tab Boards?
So far.
All right. Well, folks, we're only the best for my audience. No chopped liver on the Small Business Advocate Show. John, one of the things, it's very interesting how we program the guests on our show, and sometimes one topic just perfectly flows into the other topic. In the previous visit with our good friend Beverly Williams, she and I talked about the importance of making sure you charge enough for your home-based services, and making sure that you don't undervalue what you offer your customers, that you take into consideration all of the things that you do for your customers, and what that, and how the things that you sell them, that you offer them, the services you provide, how that impacts them, and that you take all that into consideration so that you charge enough. And that's really kind of fits in perfectly with what you wanted to talk about, isn't it?
It does, Jim. What I wanted to talk of, jokingly calling it in the email I sent to you, the discipline of debt. But what we are seeing, and it happens in all small business, but it especially happens once a small business becomes successful, is that the owners fail to maintain appropriate levels of profitability. We run our businesses in such a personal manner, and when we start out and we're building families and businesses at the same time, we are in debt. And mm-hmm. we have that discipline of that bank payment every
highly
month.
Motivated.
Right. We've got to make a mortgage. We've got to pay for cars.
We've got braces.
Our equipment, furniture, if we bought that on installment plans. And then we start making some money. And we pay some off. And we pay a little more off. Maybe if we're fortunate, and if you were down here in South Texas when land prices were collapsed in the 80s, maybe we're making enough money to go and buy a little ranch or buy a house down at the coast, and you pay that off. And time goes on, and you find out you don't need as much money as you used to personally. And you've got enough to give the employees raises, but, you know, we all know how adverse we are to raising price, going and telling our customers the prices are going up. You take
Absolutely.
A lot of grief. Everybody complains. You're afraid they're going to leave. So you don't do it this year.
Mm-hmm.
Then you don't do it next year.
Right.
And then you don't do it the year after that. And what you wind up with is an underperforming company. And
even though it's paying the bills, even though it's keeping you, in the lifestyle that you've become accustomed to, et cetera, what you've done is you've done a disservice to the business.
you've done a disservice to the business. You're doing a disservice to the security of your employees' jobs, certainly to yourself. You know, and yet, perversely, we pat ourselves on the back because what do you call somebody who tries to accumulate money he doesn't need?
Mm-hmm. Call him greedy.
Greedy. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's one of the seven deadly sins. This is an evil thing, right? So that a lot of us have this kind of drummed into us that if we don't need it, don't get it.
Right.
What you have to understand is long term, you need it.
Well, that's exactly right. And we're going to talk about how this all comes about. What is it? What gives rise to this? What does it look like in the operation of your business? And why it's kind of a trap door waiting for you. Stay with us. It's 20 Till. We'll be right back with John Deaney. We're back. It's 17 Till. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and I'm glad you're here. A little Robert Cray for you there. John Deaney is our guest. He's our good friend, the president of Management Performance Network. And, John, tell us about Tab Boards.
Well, Tab Boards nationwide. We're in about 170 cities now. I think there are about 300 facilitators. And it's a franchise organization. And what we do is we put small business owners together in boards. A typical board here in South Texas would be 8 to 10 people, about 200 years of experience in running business. And they meet once a month for 4 hours. And not surprisingly, when you run across an issue in your business, probably somebody has been there before.
Mm-hmm.
And they sit, and it's not a networking thing. It's not a social thing. They sit, although they become very friendly, but they sit there and they work very hard on improving things in their business and sharing their ideas and sharing their expertise.
But it's a crucible, isn't it? I mean, this is not some little lightweight event. I mean, you got to really be serious about getting better to join this thing, don't you?
There's a commitment. You know, it is 4 hours a month, and there are days when, you know, I know my members wake up and going into the office and catching up on 4 hours worth of paperwork is looking awful good. But, you know, they've committed to show up to these meetings because even if they don't personally have an issue that day, the other members need them there.
Right.
And you want them to be there when you have an issue. So
absolutely.
When there's only, you know, 8 people or 9 people coming to a meeting, everybody has to miss one or two in a year. You've got your big trade show or something like that. But if you're in town, you come to the meeting.
Mm-hmm. Now tell us how we can find out more about it.
Our national website is tabboards.com with two Bs, T-A-B-B-O-A-R-D-S. And locally, we're at tabsanantonio.com.
And that stands for the alternative board.
Correct.
Which is very intuitive if you think about it. All right, John, we're talking about making sure that you charge enough for your products. The thing that gets people into this, small business owners are loath to raise their prices. And you said that earlier, and it's the truth. Even though we're in an inflationary period where, well, we went through a period in 01, 02, and parts of 03 at least, John, where we couldn't raise prices. I mean, the economy was in such a tough place that we couldn't raise prices. And then the economy picked up a little bit. And for the last couple of years, it seems, John, that we've had some pricing power. It seems that small business owners have had pricing power. Where I think we make a mistake as small business owners is not raising prices incrementally when you can. And when I say incrementally, I mean one penny at a time or two pennies at a time. Every 90 days or something like that. And instead, we say, wait a minute, you know, my gas is costing me more than I thought. This is where I'm losing a lot of money. I've got to charge people more. And the next thing you know, you're raising your prices $5 instead of having raised it a nickel, a quarter for the last 2 years.
And then you face sticker shock.
Exactly. And your customers, you know, think you're ripping them off and all that sort of thing. And you just got to pay attention. This pricing thing is important. And then we get to what you're talking about. And see, John, what I'm talking about is irrespective of whether they're out of debt, whether they're greedy, whether they're not greedy, whether they got plenty of money. None of that to me is as important as the fact that if you aren't paying attention to your pricing, you're losing ground, and it's going to cause your company to be more at risk on a day-to-day basis. And then we come to your point, which is when you get ready to divest yourself of your company.
Right. Yeah, when you get ready to sell. And sell, of course, you know, not all small businesses go out to the open market and find a buyer. A lot of times they transition to an offspring, to sons and daughters, mm-hmm. or to key employees. But the fact is, if you want to get your money out of your company, if you want to realize the equity for those 20 or 30, maybe 40 years of sweat, the way you prefer to do it is... We all know what we want in our hand, right?
Right.
Cash.
That's right.
And the way your buyer, be it your kids or your employees or an outsider, is going to get cash is to go to a bank. And that's where the trouble starts, because the bank looks at the company and says, my goodness, you're doing all this business, but you're only making this much money.
Right.
You have a lousy business.
Well, the other thing that happens, John, is from a financial standpoint, is the company keeps making us money. Or, John, you talked about earlier, you know, we've already got all the money we need, and what we've been doing is maybe we've been paying ourselves more than we should have been paying. Now, that happens a lot of times, and not paying the company, not retaining any earnings.
That can be, but in this particular case, that's not as bad because you can show that profit.
Right. You can recast the numbers.
Yeah, I'm talking about people that maybe are paying their employees too much.
Right.
Another issue, the largesse of the small business owner, we like to feel good. You know, my employees are all the best paid in town because mm-hmm. I don't need that much money for myself.
Right.
Well, that doesn't help you when somebody else needs to take over the company and they're looking at a heavyweight payroll.
Right.
That's underperforming. But, you know, the big thing is the debt service. Mm-hmm. You know, we have a number of people we've talked to. As you know, we started, although we've consulted for business owners and selling their companies for many years, we started brokering companies about mm-hmm. 3 years ago. And we're having difficult discussions with these people because they have millions of dollars in assets and, you know, the profitability just isn't there, and they're saying, well, all I want somebody to do is buy the assets. We say, how are they supposed to do that?
Right.
They can't even finance.
How are they
going
to pay for it? Well, yeah, the assets maybe have a value on the street, but as a going concern, they don't, because the revenue's not coming in the door. Stand by. Quick break. We'll be right back. Here's that little band from Texas. It's Tintel. I'm Jim Blassingame. Stay with us. Welcome back. It's 7-2. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and we're having a great visit with our good friend John Deeney, and we're talking about people who don't charge enough money, who aren't raising their prices whenever they can. And John, you know, you're talking about when we get ready to divest our company and the fact that the company isn't able to the company can't stand alone to support the debt of the new owner, because as you rightly say, most people who come in to buy a small business don't come in with a lot of cash. They're looking for financing from the owner. They're looking for financing from the bank. They're looking for a lot of different opportunities. Probably, what would you say, 19 out of 20 prospects to buy your business are not going to have nearly enough cash to really run that business, and they need the cash flow of the business to help them. One of the things I was going to say, though, John, is with the way inflation has picked back up, anybody who's not raising their prices appropriately they're not going to make it to sell their business. They're going to go out of business before that.
Sure, because things don't go up. I mean, business isn't strong forever. The first dip you have no breathing room.
Right.
You know, I have a client that's a wholesaler, been a client of mine for years, and he has a wide geographic area. I'll guess he has 10,000 customers. Mm-hmm. And last year, he fretted and gnashed his teeth, and, you know, he's in a competitive environment, and he said, I've got to raise prices 3%. I just have to. I mean, I'm in a price-sensitive business. I sell commodities, but, you know, I'm not going to make it if I don't. He raised it 3%, and I went to see him a couple weeks later. I said, how'd that go? He said, I got two phone calls about the price increase. I said, that's it? He said, yep. He said, you know what I'm going to do? I said, what? He says, I'm raising them another 2% next month.
Yeah.
He said, if there's that little resistance out there, when I test the waters, I'm going to see where the resistance is.
Well, I bet that you have to think like the apartment folks, the multifamily housing folks. They expect to never be 100% occupied.
Mm-hmm.
Because if they're 100% occupied, they're not charging enough for their rents. So they always want to be 95, 96% occupied. So because if they are, that means that they're charging enough, and they've always got a room, an apartment, at least one that's vacant that they can be renovating and, you know, keep rotating them around so they don't have to do them all at once. And so we need to take a lesson from those guys. We shouldn't be 100% occupied with our production, our capacity. We should be firing some customers who don't really appreciate what we give them.
Right. And, you know, there's a simple exercise you can do to look at the impact of this. Sit down and look at your revenue and look at your profit, and then look at the impact of raising prices 5%, just for a number, to pick it, which, of course, will drop to your bottom line, and then figure out how many customers you'd have to lose to get back to your old profit level.
Right.
The
right.
number will shock you.
Mm-hmm.
Something like one out of every four or five customers would have to walk out on you over that 5% in order for you to come out even.
And if you do a good job of going to the key customers, the people that you think might be sensitive to this, and make a call on them, personally make a call on them and say, John, I just want you to know I'm going to be raising my prices. Don't surprise them. Don't just send them a higher price. Let them know. Go to them and educate them and bring them into your plans and say, you know what, my insurance has gone up, my gasoline's gone up, and also these are some things that we're going to do to improve our service, to upgrade our service to you, and this is why I've got to charge 5% more.
The second thing is critical. Use it as a marketing opportunity. Remind them of the things you've done for them over the last couple of years. Don't forget,
right.
We put these services on. We've gone to the web. We have internet capability, online ordering. You know, and we have to, you know, we're doing a great job for you.
John, we also need to assume that they haven't raised their prices. You know what I mean? Most of them understand exactly what it's about to raise prices.
Right.
The biggest mistake most small business owners make is not charging enough.
I agree.
That's a classic sin. We're also worried, and if the more we focus on price, the closer we are to failure. And, John, you've heard me say this before. The price war is over, and we lost.
Yes.
Don't fight that war. Yeah. John, give us the website again, please.
Nationally, it's tabboards.com. And for us, come see us at tabsanantonio.com.
Hey, John, thanks for being here. Good job today, as always.
Thanks a lot, Jim.
John Deaney, ladies and gentlemen. He'll be back, I promise. Got to go for this hour. Before I do, I want to thank my heroes, small business owners. This is Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. And this program is for you, and I'll see you on the other side of the news.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.